Good morning. Ik wil van jou Marius gleich een olem welkom te heiten hier van de ondag van jou Marius en van hier jaast man kan zijn die zijn ook en je loden van de ondag van jou Marius. Zijn fijne dag we voeren van McGregor bij hier en voer fijn een beetje wolken om oosten en dat weer fijn. Van deels Marius wil ik gleich in te reden van een familie. Families. En wanneer we denken aan families, van deels een dag, vragen hierheen en zo, wil dat eerst niet zeer goed met de families van deels een dag, maar ik leef dat eerst. En ik leef, wanneer we nog Gottes woord checken, dan moeten we zijn in wo we onze families zullen behandelen als vrouwen, ook als mannen, als kinderen, als onkels en tantes. En dat is van wat ik wil gleich in te reden van deels. Ik wil gleich lezen van Rijma kapitel 12, vers 9. En ik word het op Engels lezen. Dat zegt, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. En wat het meint is dat onze leven zal ernstig zijn. Dat zal op ernst zijn. En dat meint hier, wanneer we ons dit belezen, dat meint dat dat beide zal we ons afleien. En we zullen ons aanhangen aan dat goudet. En wanneer we aan dit denken, dan zei je vielleicht, well, waarom would je dit lezen, wanneer we van onze families willen wel reden van deels Marius. En ik geloof dat het wichtig dat we, wanneer we naar Gottes woord checken, dat we naar alle zijden checken van waar we ons zullen behandelen, een en anderen, maar ook waar dat schaft met onze families. En zo van deels Marius wil ik daar gleich in van te reden. En zo wel we aanvangen met een gebed. Ons grote en heerlijke God, we komen van deel en we danken Vader voor dit dag wat we hebben. We danken dat, zo dat we, Vader, dat we hier zo stil kunnen en ons toop komen. En we danken Vader voor dat goede wat die u ons ieder dag geeft. We denken van deels Marius aan onze families. We denken aan waar en die woord waar ons tot zegt, waar we ons een en ander zullen behandelen. De familie ook mensen, een en ander als mensen. We vragen Vader voor wijsheid, we vragen voor kracht. Dat we dat kunnen zo doen als die ons geleerd hast en die woord. We vragen Vader dat u met de best wat bedreigd zijn van deels Marius. Die wat betrobbeld zijn, die wat zich niet goed feilen, die kranken. We vragen dat u met de beste woord aan hem afgegeven, dit is het laatste werk. Dat u moest bien stonen en dit is een zware tijd. We vragen dit in Jezus' zijn naam. Amen.
Nummer 686. Licht vom Lichte erleuchtet mich. Lass
Gib mir einen Vorschmack ein, wie es mag im Himmel sein.
Hilf lieber Gott, wir gehen aus der Not, Nummer 151.
Wenn wir uns nur diese Vers checken, dann reden wir von Leib. Und auch reden wir von Leib, und der Leib soll so sein, dass er ernstlich ist, und dass einer dort nicht bloß von redet, aber dort wirklich dead. Das ist, was dort meint. Dort wird Dissimulation, dort meint Hypocrisy auf Englisch. Und wenn er sich daran denkt, und wenn er sich dort bedenkt, dann sieht er bald, der Leib, der ist so wichtig, nicht bloß in uns Leben, aber mank unsere Familie ist mank. Und wenn wir dort Wort abhor nehmen, was hier geschrieben ist auf Englisch, dort meint, dass einem soll dort beiset in Erkel sein, dass einer soll dort weich tun, einer soll sich dort weich leihen oder weich nehmen von sich selbst. Und dann sagt er, dass einer soll sich fast hängen und dort wird Gott ist. Vielleicht, wenn wir ein Gottes Wort lesen, dann nehmen wir eine Vers und dann gleich wie, na, die Vers sagt dit und dit und so erst dort. Und vielleicht habe ich dort nicht ganz ab ernst verstanden. Dann muss er sich ein paar Versen nehmen, da fair und vielleicht noch her, dann kann er dort besser verstehen. Aber gleich, wenn er dort Bücher einmal liest, dann muss er ganz nur das erste Kapitel gehen. Und wenn er ganz zurückgeht, und ich wollte nicht das ganze Buch lesen, dann würde ich hier für ein paar Stunden sein. Aber wenn er zurückgeht nach dem ersten Kapitel in Römer, da redet er, wo die, die gereicht sind für Gottes, Sie sollen wie dem Glauben oder durch dem Glauben leben. Und wir lesen dort in der ersten Kapitel, dass die Seligkeit, die kommt durch das Glauben. Und dann sagt er dort, das ist ein Geschenk von Gott. Ein Geschenk von Gott. Und ihr würdet vielleicht wundern, warum redest du von der? Aber dort ist, was wir machen, daran denken, dass das Verhältnis, was Gott hat gemerkt, zwischen Mana und Jesus, zwischen Frühjahrs und der Tür, und wo Kinder und wo Eltern Kinder behandeln sollen und wo Kinder Eltern behandeln sollen, das Meier dort ist bloß, was dort sagt. Die Verhältnis ist gemerkt zwischen Jesus und dem Mann. Und ich glaube, wenn wir wirklich wollen, weiten, wo unsere Familie ein und andere behandeln sollen, und wo wichtig dort wirklich ist, dann müssen wir zurückkicken und checken, was Jesus selbst für uns getan hat und was uns großer Gott uns gegeben hat. Und wenn wir dort hier in der ersten Kapitel lesen von Römer, da redet hat von dem Glauben und wo die Seligkeit bloß durch den Glauben kann kommen und Gott hat uns dort Geschenk hingeregt. Wir lesen den Bet wieder und dann sagt er dort, dass die wird Gott bloß nicht nur gönnen, die wird am zu sie schieben, am nicht wollen nur gönnen. Aber der Titan nimmt Gott seine Hand und dann nimmt er die Hand zurück. Und dann lässt er die Menschen tun, was sie selbst wollen. Und dann haben sie die Wahrheit verdreht. Und dann tun sie, was sie selbst wollen. In der zweiten Kapitel lesen wir, wo wir einen anderen nicht rechten sollen. Und wenn wir nur der 18. Vers gehen von der zweiten Kapitel von der Römer, da redet hat von den Juden. Und Paulus, der redet zu den Juden. Und dann sagt er, ihr glauben, ihr seid Lehrer. Und ihr glauben, ihr seid ein Licht zu den anderen. Aber ihr reden davon, aber ihr daunen dort nicht. Ihr reden davon, aber ihr daunen dort nicht. Und dann sagt er ein Bet wieder, dass willst du das Nomen Gottes nehmen, und ihr reden davon, dass wenn ihr dort wirklich nachfolgen, oder das Gott wirklich nachfolgen, und ihr daunen dort nicht, dann checken die anderen Menschen, die Heiden, checken nur jüd. Und dann sagt er auf Englisch, and they blaspheme God because of you. Was sagt er dort? They lasteren Gott? Hast du nicht? Lasteren Gott. Willst du, der jüd, willst du daunen nicht, was du sagen, du sollen daunen. Und dann geht er noch wieder. Und dann sagt er in der dritten Kapitel, dass wir alle gesündigt haben. Und dass wir sind gerechtigt durch Gottes seine Gnade, sind wir gerechtigt durch Jesus Christus und durch uns Glauben. Und das ist der einzige Weg, wo wir können gerechtigt sein oder gerecht sein für Gott. Wir lesen in der vierten und der fünften Kapitel, war er von Gerechtigkeit. Und wo wir, wenn wir gerecht sind, dann haben wir den Frieden Gottes in uns Hort. Und dort sagt er, dass Jesus allein ist, der Janzja, wer das kann daunen. Durch uns glauben, wenn wir an Jesus glauben, durch die Gnade Gottes, dann sind wir gerecht, dann haben wir Frieden mit Gott. Dort sagt wieder, dort wir Gott seine Idee. Dort wir nicht, dass Menschheit sich nur Gott tragt, aber Gott tragt sich nur die Menschheit. Dort sind andere, vielleicht denken wir so, dass wir haben ja uns nur Gott getragen. Aber die Bibel sagt, dass Gott tragt sich nur uns. Er riecht der Geschenk nur uns. Das Geschenk von dort ewigen Leben. Da haben wir nichts zu daunen, sagt uns dort in der fünften Kapitel. Und dann lesen wir wieder, und dann redet er weiter von, wo der Geist an uns schafft. Und wo der Geist uns dann lädt. Und wenn wir noch ein Bet wieder in das siebte Kapitel, sagt Paulus, dort ist es so, dass das Fleisch dort will dort daunen, aber durch den Geist habe ich wirklich Gott nachfolgen. Zwei andere Dinge, was wir wollen oder was wir sollen. Vielleicht denken wir daran, oder wir daunen vielleicht nicht einmal, aber wir denken daran, wo wir Dinge sollen daunen, aber wir wollen dort nicht einmal so. Und Paulus redet davon, in der siebten Kapitel sagt er, ich will fürchten dort Gaude, aber es schien so dort schlecht, die Champ noch einmal war aber boven. Aber dann sagt er, durch den Geist kann ich dort schlecht, dort Fleisch kann ich dann rauf oder aufdrecken in an dort Gaudet Champ dann nab. Wir lesen in 8. Kapitel von Reimann und sagt dort, dass wir sind nicht mehr verdammt, wenn wir durch den Geist leben. Und dass der Geist uns dann wird haben, dass wir die fleischliche Last können durchmachen oder anbringen. Dort sagt uns, dass der Heilige Geist, der betet für uns, Vater Gott. Und das 28. bei der 28. Vers sagt er, dass der Geist, der betet für uns. Und dann sagt er, in der 9. Kapitel, 10. Kapitel, 11. Kapitel, sagt er, wo Gott schaim und an Sarah seine gewählte Menschen. Sarah deit zu sieht. So dass wir in der Heiden, so dass wir können Kinder Gottes wohnen. Und vielleicht lese ich das. Dann wundere ich, warum Gott das deit? Oder wo deit Gott das? Und wir weiten, dass die Kinder Israel, die wären jen Gott. Die sehen, die folgen am Noah, aber es schien so, die niemals, was Gott will haben, dass sie sollen tun. Und wir lesen davon in den Ende, 10. 11. Kapitel Römer. Dann mal die Zeit, seht Gott, dann wo ich ihn zu sehen sagen. Wo ich ihn zu sehen sagen. Dann wo ich das Heiden, die Gelegenheit geben. Dass die können meine Kinder sein. Durch Jesus Christus und sein Tod am Kreuz. Dass die meine Kinder können sein. Sag ich da. Und dann sage ich da, wenn wir in der Kapitel lesen, so in der Mad von dem Kapitel, sage ich da, dass die Heiden, die sollen dann mich nachfolgen. Dass meine gewählten Menschen, die Kinder Israel, wollen aufjanstig sein. Und wollen wahre Träger kommen um mich, sagt Gott. Und so, wenn Paulus hier von schreibt, so sagt er dort. Dann kommen wir bei der 12. Kapitel, wo wir von dir wollen von reden. Dann sagt Paulus, dass wir sollen wirklich ein Opfer, ein lebendiges Opfer sein für Gott. Und dann sagt er, dass durch die Barmherzigkeit Gottes, tja, wie das tun. Und wo schafft dort? Und da wurde ich auch für eine Eva. Weil ihr, als ich diese Andacht reden möchte, dann dachte ich da an, dann checkte ich am Old Testament an, dann dachte ich so, ich will ein Beispiel nehmen vom Old Testament. Ich tue das für, wenn ich eine Andacht reden möchte, dann nehme ich immer ein Beispiel von dem Old Testament, dann halte mich dort, dass ich dort besser verstehen kann, wo ich probte von zu reden. Dann checkte ich beim Old Testament an, dann dachte ich so, da wir vielleicht eine Familie im Old Testament, was wir können nehmen und sagen, so eine Familie ist das, so soll wie unsere Familie sein. Aber dann checkte ich träge, und ich habe meist das ganze Old Testament durchgelesen. Und du hast wirklich keine Familie, wo ich würde sagen, dass ich wünsche meine Familie, wie so ist das. Ich wünsche meine Familie, wie so ist das. Und wenn wir davon lesen, dann lesen wir von Abraham, Isaac und Jakob. Und wir lesen in 1. Mose, das 28. Vers von Isaac und Rebekka. Und dann sagt dort, dass der grämten sich durch Eva, dass er eine Schwiegertochter ist, die wir so schlecht, oder die wir so jähnt. Und wieder lesen wir in der 17. Kapitel von 1. Mose, dass Rebekka sagt, sie wünscht, sie können sterben, because das ist Schwiegertochter, wir sind so ein Mensch, sie wünscht, sie können sterben, weil dit jij voor wilt, zo veel trouble. We lezen wieder van Jozef. En we zien een breide arm jen onweeren. De wensten hij weer dood. En wanneer ik van jou denk aan lijf en een familie, dan denk ik aan deze mensen 3000 jaar terug en beter even 3000 jaar terug. En wat er vaak geschreven is in de Bijbel van hen. En waar de erde familie is. Die wären einfach schlecht, die wären schlechte Familien. Dann reden wir, oder sagen wir wieder, wenn wir wieder lesen, lesen wir von Aaron und Miriam. Und weil die so aufgänzlich wären, Eva Moses. Und dann kam Gott, und wir weiten die Geschichte von Miriam. Sie riecht sie Leprosie, und dann muss Moses verbeten. Und dann sagen wir, dass sie wird beter. dann lesen wir von David. In seine Tänger. Nicht wie einfach schlecht. In ganz durch das Alte Testament wird das so. Dann wird er ein bisschen mutlos. Und denkt dann so, wo schafft es dann? Wenn diese Menschen vom Alten Testament, Gott ist seine gewählte Menschen. Ihre Familie ist so schlecht werden. Hast du Hoffnung für uns? Hast du eine Hoffnung für uns? Ja, du hast. Willst du haben in Gott? Und Gott, wo Jesus Christus nur diese Ehe schickt, dass er starb für unsere Sünden. Und seht, er wird uns leiden. Jeder Tag, nicht bloß Sonntagsmorgens, aber jeder Tag, uns leiden durch, wo wir schaffen, uns leiden durch, wo wir einen anderen behandeln, uns leiden durch, wo wir unsere Familie behandeln. Und da denke ich, fragen wir uns, dass ich sei christliche Familie. Und die behandeln sich nicht recht. Die proben einen anderen zu bestreiten. Früher ist die sind nicht, so ist die Sohn zu ihrer Mana. Mana wird die früher nicht recht behandeln. Ich glaube, fragen weil wir hier nicht von reden, weil wir können alle Menschen wird nicht allein kommen, einer mit dem anderen. Und sometimes in unseren Familien. Aber ich glaube, was predigt, ich glaube, wir sollen hier viel fragen davon reden. Weil Jesus hat uns, Gott hat uns, diese das gegeben, dass wir so eine Familie haben, wo der Vater arm reicht das. Und wo der einer dort? Sein Wort sagt uns, wo wir die Tänen daunen. Sind alle Familien gut immer? Nein, wir haben alle Trouble. Aber wir müssen immer schaffen damit. Kreuz ist Paulus seht in der Reimer. In Kapitel 7, dort Fleisch will det, aber dann müssen wir dort Fleisch doldrehen. Dann müssen wir dem Jesus lassen, uns leiden, und dann kommt dort Gaude nab, und dort schleicht die Jäte rauf. Und dort wird nicht in einem Tag. Dort nimmt Zeit. Und wenn wir hier dann an denken, dass wir sollen uns ein Leben jetzt Opfer geben für Gott, dort sage ich, dass so soll wir dort tun. Vielleicht denke ich an, wenn Menschen nicht allein kommen, christliche Menschen nicht allein kommen. Und dort erst, da sind zwei Reasons dafür. Eins ist, dass wir christliche Menschen fragen, wenn der Trouble ist, weil wir nicht nur die Bibel checken. Wir wissen nicht, was er da sagt. Sondern wir wissen nicht, was er macht. Und der andere Reason ist, dass wenn wir dort dann lesen und fingen dort üt, was er macht, dann werden wir dort bloß nicht tun. Dann werden wir uns eh nicht tun. Kriegst du das Paulus sagt, dort Fleisch dort will immer zurückkommen. Ich würde gleich wieder von reden in der zweiten Port von unserem Andacht von Dels Marius. Aber eier wie dort zu Eva gehen, kriege ich ihn in Beten an Jesus seinen Namen. In dem Namen Jesus beten wir. Amen.
Take the blue book and turn to number 472. All the way my Savior leads thee. Can we stand?
What have I to ask beside? Can I thee, who through life has been my guide. Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know what there befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know what there befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Taught my weary steps, my falter, and my soul a thirst may be. Gushing from the rock before me, oh, the springs of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, oh, the spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings is fight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus lead me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus leads me all the way.
And so as we think about this morning's topic of family, and we think about this verse in Romans 12, verse 9, where it speaks about love without dissimulation, it speaks about how we are to abhor evil and cleave to that which is good. In all reality, I would just like to look at the first line of this verse, which says, let love be without dissimulation. That means love is to be real, without hypocrisy. Love is to be an action, not something we say. We read about this often where it speaks about hypocrisy or dissimulation or feigned faith. And we read in James chapter 3, verse 17, it says, wisdom from above is without hypocrisy. Weisheit von oben, when we have wisdom. And it is from God, it is pure and clean, it is real. And it speaks in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, where it speaks about having faith unfeigned, having a pure heart, having love. A pure heart. And so today, when we speak about Romans 12, verse 9, we need to think about real faith, real wisdom, and then real love. And we need to apply that to more than to just our neighbors. We need to apply that to our families. Each one of us who has a family. And some of you may be single and you don't have children, but you have someone that indeed looks up to you in some manner. And so when I speak of family, I don't just speak of husbands and wives and children and uncles and aunts, but also to you who don't have children. You too have responsibility, whoever you may be. And that responsibility is to show love, like family, especially if you are a child of God, a Christian. You are to love others, and you are to show that. And you can't just talk about it, you have to do it. You can't put your arm around somebody, and then when that person walks away, then you start talking about him in a negative way and saying, well, that person, and then you have a long list. Love is not about telling stories about the person. Love is about caring. And in our families, we have to care for our families just like we care for the neighbor that it lives down the street. When I think about perfect families, the Old Testament, as I mentioned in the first portion, there is no families that are good, it seems. But there is real love that is shown. It speaks about Jacob, I believe, in Genesis, Yishtemozi Einen Dardich, Genesis 31, speaks about Jacob and how he loved Rachel so much that he worked for seven years, and it just seemed just like a few days. And that's because of his love for her, it says. We read in the book of Ruth, where it speaks about how terrible things had happened. Ruth and Naomi and Orpah's husbands had died. They were Naomi's two sons. And we read there very simply that everything had collapsed in their lives. And so they decided, or Naomi decided, she would go back to Israel. And one of her daughter-in-laws was not like the daughter-in-law of Isaac and Rebekah. This daughter-in-law said, I'm sticking to you. I'm coming with you. Your God will be my God, she said. And we know it brought great blessing for her when she truly loved her mother-in-law. Much is made of mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws sometimes, and it's often the brunt of jokes and things like that. And it really shouldn't be. Families are important. And though there is no such thing as a perfect family, we have a perfect God who can help us through his word. He can guide us and direct us. Hikonas leiden, der sin vuit, so that we will know what we are to do. In Romans 8, verse 31, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us. So I ask you the question, is God for you? Is God for you? Or is God against you? If you are a child of God, God is for you. And so it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Often when we think of family, we only think of husbands and wives, and we turn to Ephesians. And I'd like to look at that just for a few moments. In Ephesians 5. And it speaks about how husbands and wives are to treat each other. It speaks and it begins that if we read all of chapter 5 of Ephesians, there's a lot of direction for us as people. In verse 8 of chapter 5, it says, ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's a pretty big responsibility. Were we sometimes darkness? Yes, I was sometimes darkness. But then when I came to the Lord, then I became light. And so now as light, I want to do what is right in God's eyes. And now I have the responsibility not only to do right in what's God's eyes, but to do right before other people. Why do I speak about all this when I speak about family? Because families have a responsibility given by God that we are to be the example of God to those who don't know God. That's what we are to do. We are to be light. We have a responsibility. And while we reap the benefits and the blessings of knowing God, we also have a responsibility. It goes further and it speaks about verse 10. It says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So walk as children of light, prove what's acceptable to God. Verse 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. When a man slaps his wife, is that light or is that darkness? Is that light or is that darkness? When I was growing up, I sometimes heard the story of the wife who had the husband under the table with a broom. And my mom would tell me this story and say, that shouldn't be like that. Is that light or is that darkness? That's darkness. Women shouldn't chase their husbands with brooms and husbands shouldn't slap their wives. That's wrong. It's not right. That's works of darkness. That's fellowship with unfruitful works. We can't do those things. And so why did I read or speak about Romans? so that we would understand what God did for us and what he does for us today. And so that when he uses us as an example, as he did the children of Israel, when we read the Old Testament, we realize that the children of Israel were to be the example to the Gentile nations. But they wouldn't do it. They failed. And so then we get to the New Testament. And now the Christians are to be the example to the world that are ungodly. And the best way to do that is through how we treat our neighbors and how we treat our families. In Romans, or rather in Ephesians chapter 5, there's one central verse. I call it the point of reference verse. And it's 5 verse 25. And often we begin reading at Ephesians 5 verse 22, but it's the wrong spot to begin. We have to begin at 25. And it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And so it gives us two directions. And it starts with husbands. And he says, love your wives as Christ gave himself for the church. As Christ loved the church and then gave himself for the church. That's how we are to love our wives. And so we're to go to the furthest extent. And you might say, well, back up a little bit to verse 22, but give me a bit of time. I'll get there. And so he says, husbands, you're to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so when I'm studying, I think about this and I think about, so would there be a church without Christ, without Jesus? Would we have a church? No. Would any of us be a child of God if Jesus had not come and died on the cross? Likely not. And so there would be no church without Christ. Just like there is no family, no good solid family without a good solid husband. Without Jesus, the church dies. Without the husband, the family dies. And so why? Why are we supposed to do this? The Bible has this amazing way of telling us what to do, and then it says why. Because there's people like me who always ask why. Ever since I was a little kid, I said, well, why? My parents would say, do this, and I'd say, why? When you're a parent, it drives you crazy. But when you're a child, that's what you do, and you learn, because it's usually explained to you. So why should husbands love their wives? And he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, speaking of Jesus. But remember, husbands are looked at as the head of the family, as Jesus is looked at as the head of the church. And so now this begins to make sense. So that husbands might sanctify and cleanse their wives, or lead them in the right direction. And so when a husband loves his wife the way he should and leads her in the right direction, things begin to get better. In verse 27, it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, in verse 25, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So we too should love our wives as husbands, so that they could be without spot or wrinkle. That means so that their difficulties or their shortcomings would slowly disappear. Sometimes it takes longer than other times. Sometimes it's very quick. When we have husbands and wives and we help each other, sometimes we see our difficulties, our shortcomings, and we change them right away. And sometimes it takes long. It takes a long time. Verse 28 reminds me that these two verses are for the husbands. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And so what he is saying is, just in the way Jesus loved the church, so that he could cleanse it and make it better, so the men should love the wives. In Titus, it speaks about how the wives should also love the men, and how the elderly women should teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children. The elderly women. So some of you women who are elderly, that means over 50, You are to teach the ones under 50 or under 30 how to love their husbands and their children. That's your responsibility. As a woman of God, that's your responsibility. You can teach them to bake and you can teach them to clean their house or whatever it might be. But the Bible says you're to teach them how to love their husbands and their children. And so then it says wives, if we back up to verse 21, are to submit themselves. It says, submit yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord. And then verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And so how hard is it for a wife to submit or help along or follow? The word submit means follow, help, do as he asks in certain situations. How hard is that when your husband loves you like Jesus loved the church? When your husband gives himself for you? When your husband tries to help you with everything that you need, including the kitchen sink when it's always leaking, the faucet is leaking. And it's something that takes me 6 months because I don't like climbing under there, but I still have to do it. And so my wife has great patience with me. So I must also have patience with my wife. And so when we think of this, it goes back and forth. But it starts with verse 25. And so the wife is to submit, but the husband first has to love her. Remember what I said, without Jesus, there is no church. If Jesus hadn't come, the church could not love Jesus because he wouldn't be here. So it is with husbands. So it is with husbands. They are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. But I don't just want to talk about husbands and wives today. When I think about families and how important it is that we love our families, I also think about children. And we go a little further in chapter 6, and it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and mother. And that can be difficult, and that can look different as we get older. When we're small, when we're 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 years old, we listen to our parents. They direct us and they guide us. And it says here, we're supposed to obey them. So if there's any children here, I think there's a couple right at the back. You're supposed to obey your parents. That's what it says. And so then we should do it. But then suddenly you become 40 and 50. And then you become 60 and your parents are 85 or 82. And so how do you honor your parents now? Well, you have to honor them and by doing what is right for them, what's best for them. Sometimes there's parents who can't look after themselves anymore, so now you children must honor them by helping them. My parents, one is in a care home, one is in seniors housing. My mom she lives in the seniors housing. She just broke her leg. And so now it's been like the last month has been fairly difficult. My dad is in a care home, and he doesn't always know the people who come to visit him anymore. And so we have to honor them. How do we do that? We visit them. We help them when they have difficulties, just like they helped us when we had difficulties when we were young, when we were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. When you honor your father and mother, that means you look after them. Honor is an interesting word, but this word here is used in the same manner that it uses the word honor when it speaks about honoring God. It's in the same manner as we read in Peter, where Peter says, if we don't honor our wives as husbands, our prayers won't be heard. That's pretty serious. That's a serious matter. And so when we think about family and we think about how we Christians are supposed to be the example, we have to show love. And the children must obey or love their parents. But then we get to verse 4, chapter 6, verse 4. And it says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't make your children angry, it says. Provoke not. So what does that mean? That means we don't do things that will provoke our children. Very simple. It's not hard to understand. We don't do things that make our children angry. We're for real. Remember what it said in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. And I'd like to take us back to that. When a father tells his children to do something, or a mother, but won't do it themselves, will the child listen? No. The child becomes angry because they see mom and dad aren't doing what they just told me to do. And so when the father and the mother say to their 18-year-old son, don't go drinking with your friends. But then when they have a barbecue, they pull out their whiskey bottle and drink. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. We have to be an example. When we do those kinds of things, we provoke our children to anger. Because children are smarter than we think. We can all remember when we were 11 or 12 or 13, we saw far more than our parents thought we saw. We could understand. And then if the father and mother wouldn't do what they tell the children to do, the children get angry. And they don't listen. And the family falls apart. It's important to love without dissimulation. That means when we love someone, we mean it and we do it. We don't just say it. It's important that we abhor, or that we are disgusted with evil, that we truly hate evil if we are children of God. And it's important that we cleave to that which is good, which means that we have to hang on. And so you might say, yeah, but I've made all these mistakes raising my children and now I'm old. Well, make it right. Make it right. All of us as husbands, all of us as fathers, all of us as wives, and all of us as mothers have done things we shouldn't have done. And sometimes by mistake, things worked out. I often say by mistake. It's not by mistake. It's by God's hand that things work out. But it's important for us to have successful families in the eyes of the world around us. And we have to do our best. And when we have done wrong, we need to deal with it. We need to make it right. When we think about us as husbands, when I think about this and the example of Jesus, I'm the example of Jesus to the world. Yes, I am. I'm the example of Jesus to my wife and to my family. Yes, I am. And so each one of us as dads and husbands must think about that. And we must understand that this truly is important. You see, there's forgiveness when we do wrong, regardless of how old we are. I often think about this example, and I have to read it. Because the example from the Old Testament to the New Testament is so great in how we are to behave. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 to 20, it speaks about how when a child disobeys, and I'll read that for us. It's a terrible piece of scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And it speaks about how when a child misbehaves, what you should do with that son. And so Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 to 20, it says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, and he shall die. That's pretty serious when he doesn't listen to the parents. But then when we read in Luke 15, we see what happens in the New Testament after Jesus came. And so here's the example, and it's one son with the example of the other son. And we think about this. I've often spoken about Luke 15 because it's one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Because it shows the love of God and it shows the love of the Father. And so we too should be the same way as this father in Luke 15. But the reason I'm reading this is so that we can look at the examples in the Old Testament, how things were done, and now today, how we should be doing things. And it says in Luke chapter 15, and it's a common story, and I'll read this. It says, a man had two sons, and the young one said to his father, give me what I have coming because I need something else to do. I'm leaving. And it says, not many days after, the young son gathered together what his father had given him, and he took off. Went to a far country, and he wasted everything he had with riotous living, everything that his father had given him. And it says, and when he had spent everything that he had, there was a big famine and he had no food to eat. And then it says he went to a different person in that city or in that country. And he wanted to work for this guy. And this person said, you have to go and feed the pigs. And it says he would have liked to eat the pig's food, but he couldn't because he had to leave it for the pigs. Verse 17 says, when he came to himself, so suddenly he realized he's dying. When he came to himself, he thought of his father. And he said, well, I'd have lots to eat if I was at home. And he turned around and he started heading back home. And he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. So he had this little speech that he made up. We don't know if it was for real or not. Because he was dying. He was starving. And so in verse 20, this is what it says. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And so we see here the difference. The difference of the father, and there's a couple of words we have to look at. And you may say, yeah, but the son repented. Well, I don't know if he repented or not. He was dying, so when people are dying, they'll do almost anything. But there's a little piece of scripture we have to look at. And it said, when he was yet a great way off, in verse 20 it says, and his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Before the son could say anything, the father never knew if the son had repented or not. He was watching. In the Old Testament, when the son had done this kind of thing, like this son had done, he would have been stoned by the elders. In the New Testament, after Jesus died on the cross, so that we could have forgiveness of sin, the father saw him coming and he didn't pick up stones to stone him. But he ran towards him. Before the son could say anything, he ran towards him and took him in. The son, of course, tried to explain, but the father wouldn't listen. In verse 21, he said a few words and the father cut him off. And so when we think about that and we think about our example as fathers, and we think about what it speaks about, as it speaks about families in the Old Testament, and then as it speaks about families in the New Testament. And so there's a great difference between before the time Jesus died on the cross and the time after Jesus died on the cross. And while our God is the same God as he was for all time, God treats us as Gentile people differently. He commands that we love. So let's remember the verse we started with. In Romans 12, verse 9, love without dissimulation. Make it be real. Your love has to be real. You have to hate evil, and you have to cling to that which is good. When we think about this, we think about the difference between the Old and the New Testament, and we think about how we are commanded to love. If we read in 1 John, it says, this is how you know that you're a child of God. If you love others, love your brother. If you don't, you're not a child of God. Those are pretty hard words. Because if we don't have love in our hearts, it means we aren't a child of God. And it says if we do have love in our hearts, it means we are. And so that love isn't just for the neighbor. The love is for our children. The love is for our parents. The love is for our uncles and aunts. The love is for our families that we need to have. Regardless of situation, the father in Luke 15 did not know what the son was going to say, but he loved him regardless of the situation. Even though the son had wasted one third of everything the father had, even though the son had muddied the father's name, even though the son had said he wished the father was dead, because that's what he did when he asked for his inheritance, the father still stood and looked for the son to return. And that's the kind of love that we need in families. And so when we think about that, and we think about what is at stake, and most of all, when we think about our responsibility before God as being the example of God to those who don't know God, we have to think about loving our families, and we have to apply it. Regardless of it's our children, our uncles and aunts, our nieces and nephews, whoever it might be, love must be applied. When I think of the great things God has done for me, I have to apply that to the people I meet, to my families and my friends and the people that surround me. And that is our responsibility as Christians, as children of God. Let us close in prayer. Our great and gracious God, as we come before you at the close of our service today, we give thanks again for your great sacrifice on the cross, your salvation for each one of us. Whoever looks to you and repents of sin, we have salvation. Lord, we think of that and we think of how you gave yourself for us. And then we think of how we are compared to that as families, how we should give ourselves for each other, how we should love each other with that same type of love. And Lord, I only ask for strength and guidance to do this. Give us strength, give us guidance, and help us to fulfill our responsibilities before you as we think about the love we must have for each other. Lord, help us to be examples to those who don't know you. Help us to be examples to those who are struggling within our own circles. And help us to understand how you indeed are the one who loved with this type of sacrificial love. In Jesus' name we pray again today. Amen. And so for each one that is able, at this time, could you please kneel and pray in Jesus' name? May the Lord hear our prayers. Amen.
Once again, take your blue books and turn to page number 349. I am resolved. Resolve no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, things that allure my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he had the of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest.
So I have nothing else to bring to you this morning. But I'd like to remind each one of you to continue to pray for each other. The younger for the elder, the elder for the younger, and those in between. Pray for each other. Pray for your families and pray that God will give you guidance and strength. Indeed, to love them the way we should. Not to falter, but to love them the way we should. And so let us be the example as elderly people. And I'm not really elderly, but I'm older. And so let us be the example to the younger. And let us be the example to each other. Let us uphold each other. We need encouragement at times, and we know that that is how we uphold each other, by encouraging. And so let us continue to do that. And so I would like to bless you from the words that are taken from Numbers 6. The Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and the Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and the Lord give thee peace. And you may go in the name of the Lord. Amen. And have a good week.